Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, yeah. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, yeah. Gora Premanandi. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay. We're continuing with Chapter 34 from Canto 10, Nanda Maharaj is saved from a big boa constrictor by Krishna's lotus feet. So what's happened so far is they went to Ambikavana to perform some rituals, the worship of Shiva and Uma, and they is the cowherd men and Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna was there too. And they did the rituals, and then because it was far away, they decided to take rest at night. And so while taking rest at night, this serpent came along, gigantic serpent, big enough to swallow Nanda Maharaj, and he started swallowing Nanda Maharaj, who called out to Krishna based upon his understanding what Nanda Maharaj heard during the name-giving ceremony for Krishna, that Krishna would have powers like Narayan that would protect the residents of Braja. So he's a resident of Braja and he wanted Krishna's protection, so he called out. Meanwhile, the cowherd men, they tried what they could do, didn't work. They took some sticks, particularly they took sticks that were from the fire, campfire, and smashed the serpent. He wouldn't let go of Nanda Maharaj, so Krishna put his foot, just one foot, on some places it says the head, some places it says the tail, but on the body of this serpent. And immediately the curse that had been inflicted upon Vidyadhara, Vidyadharas are, we'll hear some more about Vidyadharas. They're residents of below heaven, or Swargaloka, in that in-between region. So there's earthly realm, and Bhuvarloka region. So Vidyadharas are there along with other groups, Siddhas and Charnas and Gandharvas and Apsaras and so forth. Rahu is there too. Watch out for Rahu. So he was a king of Vidyadharas, but he had been cursed, and we'll find out about the curse. So the purport for this verse, text number 10 of Canto 10, chapter 34. The Supreme Lord Rishikesh then questioned this personality who was standing before him with head bowed, his brilliantly effulgent body bedecked with golden necklaces. Pretty big switcheroo from serpent to golden necklaces demigod. Purport. The demigod was about to speak, and Lord Krishna wanted to focus everyone's attention on his words. Therefore, he personally inquired from the worshipable Vidyadhara, who was standing before him with his head bowed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna inquired from the Vidyadhara in order to show fear of disrespecting the Brahmanas to all the pilgrims from various villages who had gathered there. So it wasn't just the residents of Braja, but it was a celebrated place, and they were also there to do some worship and rituals. And so he wanted those personalities to understand what happens when you disrespect a Brahmana. To all the pilgrims from various villages who had gathered there, Krishna is addressed as the controller of all the senses, Rishikesha, to indicate that he made the assembled pilgrims listen attentively to the words of the Vidyadhara. Krishna knew the script ahead of time, so he's just playing the script. It's something, I mean, what would it be like if you knew what was going to happen before it happens? What would you do? But Krishna knows what's going to happen before it happens. Although sometimes it appears that he doesn't. And sometimes even he feels overwhelmed by his own yogamaya potency because he likes that feeling too. But a favorite example is his indicating to yogamaya when the seventh child of Devaki was in Devaki's womb, he told yogamaya what the script is going to be. These things are going to happen. So transfer Balaram to the womb of Rohini, appear as the child of Yashoda. Vasudeva is going to carry me to the side of Yashoda, place me there. He'll bring you back over here to the prison house of Kamsa. Kamsa's going to come, thinking you're the eighth child. He's going to try to kill you. No worries. He can't kill you because you're my yogamaya potency. And then you have some other service. You can appear in the world in different places by different names as Durga and Durga's different names. So Ambika is one of those names. That's where they are. Jiva Goswami writes, though the Lord was full of knowledge as the promoter of all senses, Rishikesha, he asked the person offering respect with folded hands, some avastitam, having a human form with a shining body and golden garland, or golden crown earrings and other ornaments. Now, I think I skipped some verses. Yes, I skipped some. I'm going to go back. Hey. I'm going to go back to... Gosh. Quite a big go back. What happened? Krishna, Krishna. Huh?
You have to go to text 6.
6? Okay. Yeah. Text 6. Text 6. So that's, you know, it's text 6. In the clutches of the snake, yeah, fantastic. Text 6. In the clutches of the snake, Nanda Maharaj cried out, Krishna, Krishna, my dear boy, this huge serpent is swallowing me. Please save me. Who am surrendered to you. This is dad speaking to the kid. Vishwanath. Nanda began to call out for Krishna, remembering the words of Garga that Krishna would save the inhabitants of Braja from all dangers. He had a good memory, especially when there's danger. Jiva Goswami, he called out Krishna's name twice out of fear and called out son once. Out of affection. I have no fear, but fear of separation from you. I am surrendered to you since I am old. And under your protection, since as a son you should protect me, please free me completely without any type of pain. Pati mochaya. This reveals a situation of a great devotee who could not solve his own problem and prayed that Krishna come quickly. So that's what you do if you have a problem you can't solve. Krishna! You have to be a pure devotee too, it helps. This was also seen in the Kaliya incident. Kaliya incident, anyone doesn't know the Kaliya? Do you know the Kaliya incident? Okay, great. Sanatana Goswami writes, the snake was swallowing his feet or had already swallowed them. Nanda called out twice to Krishna out of fear or affection. This snake is large. I cannot fight it by myself. It also suggests that as a devotee, the Vidyadhara was the best of snakes. Oh, son, Nanda calls with affection. I do not suffer from death, but from separation from you, Savior, Father, who has surrendered to you, your devotee. This is said with humility and pain. Free me so that everything is auspicious, giving up consideration of my own happiness so that all are free of injury, because he has subordinates, the village people that are looking to him. Save the snake from his curse. By doing that, I will be freed. Text 7. When the cowherd men heard the cries of Nanda, they immediately rose up and saw that he was being swallowed. Distraught, they beat the serpent with blazing torches. Vishwanath. Hearing the cries, the cowherd men began beating the snake with flaming pieces of firewood. Jiva Goswami. The others heard him yelling with pitiful, long wailing. They were asleep, but they woke up. Simultaneously, they heard and saw. This indicates their great alertness. Fearing the nature of the python, boa constrictor and python are the same. This question of stamen and pericarp, remember? They are interchangeable. But specifically, the word pericarp is commonly used with a lotus, that centerpiece that sticks up and is flat at the top. Pericarp. Fearing the nature of the python to swallow and not release its victim, very quickly they began hitting its hind parts with handheld flaming torches, which particularly cause fear in snakes. Probably anybody. Sanatana Goswami writes, the cowherds heard him crying out pitifully or shouting. Since they were cowherds, they were dedicated to Nanda. He was their king. They immediately got up. They had been sleeping. Then suddenly, they suddenly heard him yelling. They heard and saw simultaneously. This indicates their alertness. Though they were capable of easily freeing him, they beat the snake with torches because they were confused. So now, text number 8. But even though the firebrands were burning him, the serpent would not release Nanda Maharaj. Then the Supreme Lord Krishna, master of the devotees, came to the spot and touched the snake with his foot. Just one. Vishwanath, being beaten by sticks, the snake still did not let go of Nanda. Jiva Goswami writes, Krishna arrived later since he was staying farther away with his friends, avoiding the elders, since that was restrictive to their play. He came quickly out of affection for his father and faced him directly. He touched the snake's tail with his foot, but did not kick it. He was careful not to touch his father with his foot, since that was improper. You know, the painting shows he touched his head. Anyway. But he did not injure the snake, since the snake could be released from its curse by another means. Later, the snake will say, quote, I was immediately freed from the brahmana's punishment simply by seeing you. Verse 17. Though his action did not appear so effective, he responded to his father's cries, since he was by nature the shelter of all powers, Bhagavan, and he was the protector of his devotees, Satvatam Patihi. The snake was like Putanas dressing as a nurse. That was her bhakti by which the Lord became merciful. By some sort of bhakti, though the snake should not have been touched, Krishna touched it. with his foot. And it received the greatest benefit, just like Kaliya, snake. We don't touch snakes, but Krishna did. Sanatan Goswami writes, Krishna touched him just slightly with his left foot, cool and soft like a lotus. Nanda could be freed from the snake, and the snake could be freed from the curse just by seeing Krishna or concentrating on him. However, he wanted to give bhakti by his mercy. Seeing the bhakti involved in the snakes grabbing Nanda's feet, oh boy, that's putana. He's grabbing Nanda's feet, so that's bhakti. His intention was to kill him, but he touched his feet, so there's the bhakti element. He did this by seeming to kick the snake in anger. That is revealed later. Paragraph, Krishna arrived and faced him. It's Nanda. He was staying further away with his friends, avoiding the elders, since that was restrictive to their play. He revealed his powers, Bhagavan. He should hide his powers. So we heard the chapter introduction. Krishna wanted once again to show his powers. So that was one of the reasons. There's other reasons. He was the protector of the devotees, Satvatampati. He did it out of great affection. And then final text 9. The snake had all his sinful reactions destroyed by the touch of the Supreme Lord's divine foot. Now, Kali was much more nasty. It wasn't just like one touch with his foot. It was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing and smashing and smashing and smashing and smashing. He was a bad guy, Kali. Vidyadhara is not so bad. And thus he gave up his serpent body and appeared in the form of a worshipable Vidyadhara purport. The words Rupam Vidyadhara Architam indicate that the erstwhile snake appeared in a beautiful form among the demigods called Vidyadharas. So here's the Vidyadhara, the little description. In the glossary, in folio, it says something very simple, a race of celestial beings. They're like upadevatas. They're not devas in the celestial swarga realm. They're lesser than demigods, and they reside, this is fifth canto says, they reside in Bhuvar Loka, Bhur, Bhuvar, and Swarga Loka. So Bhuvar Loka, above earth and below heaven. They are attendants of Lord Shiva, and they possess material mystic knowledge and also mystic powers. But so that's what they're known for. And so this particular person appeared as the leader of the Vidyadharas. Vishwanath writes, being worshipped by the Vidyadharas indicates that the person freed from offenses by the touch of Krishna's foot was the best of the Vidyadharas. Jiva Goswami writes, by the touch of the foot of Krishna, endowed with a wealth of sweetness, Srimat, who displayed his unlimited power, Bhagavataha, the snake was freed from his unlimited sins of many births, culminating in his great offense. So before the great offense was lesser stuff. We'll hear more about the great offense. The word Srimat, or sweetness, suggests that if his foot was endowed with such sweetness, how much more his other limbs were sweeter? Because feet are normally not thought of as sweet, particularly in Vedic culture. but you know, in the West also, they're, you know, smelly feet or unclean feet. So his feet were sweet, so what about the rest? The touch of his foot is mentioned again in this verse to show it great respect. Touching him with his foot was not so wonderful. Rather, he attained a form rare among the Vidyadharas. He attained a form better than the previous one. Paragraph. Though being beaten, the snake did not release Nanda. Krishna came to it and touched it with his foot, and simply by the touch, the snake released Nanda. Since Nanda was full of all powers and the Lord of the devotees, he's the Lord of the Vrijbasis. The verb, quote, released, unquote, is understood as in the case of pravisha, pindim, or to enter or accept oblations, like you offer it into a sacrificial fire. Otherwise, without letting go of Nanda, it would not be suitable for the Lord to ask him questions later. So what does that mean? Before Krishna spoke, he reciprocated. He did what he did because of a curse. He was behaving like a serpent because he had a body of a serpent. And he was honoring Nanda's feet, maybe not intentionally, but so the fact that he released Nanda opened the door for Krishna to then ask what Krishna asks in text 10. He was indeed a snake, and having his inauspiciousness removed by the touch of the Lord's feet with that body itself without being killed, he was transformed into a Vidyadhara form. This was because of the Lord with his Achintya Shakti, this remarkable touch. Is also seen in the case of transforming the bodies of Kubja. Krishna's touch, her body transformed. Besides hunchback, she became very beautiful, etc. Just by his touch, his foot and his tip of his finger on her chin. But it's also mentioned the weaver in Mathura. The weaver in Mathura is one of the persons who received Krishna when he was entering Mathura. And the only reference in the BBT translation is the following text. Pleased with the weaver, the Supreme Lord Krishna blessed him that after death, he would achieve the liberation of attaining a form like the Lord's, and that while in this world, he would enjoy supreme opulence, physical strength, influence, memory, and sensory vigor. There's no mention of his touch. But this is Jiva Goswami's commentary, who speaks about it or writes about it in Gopal Champu. So I'm going to read that, and I think we're done. Gopal Champu writes, one weaver with the best qualities made an outfit with ornaments and cloth suitable for sporting as the best wrestler, you know, getting ready to go to the wrestling arena, all kind of dressed up, and the weaver making cloth and decorations. He goes on, this weaver did not come to Vraja for fear of Kamsa. He had some knowledge of Krishna, but he didn't go to see Krishna in Vraja because he was afraid what Kamsa might do. But he had heard of the great happiness of Vraja from his companions who had gone there and returned. Thus, he was anxious to see Krishna. So how anxious are we to see Krishna? That's the application point. Then something astonishing happened, which no one had seen before. Krishna gave him a form similar to his own. When Krishna glanced at him, Krishna's beauty entered his body. He took a form like Krishna's. And the form of Krishna did not leave him. The weaver. We praise this assumption of Krishna's qualities. Then he gives a metaphor. The oil bug absorbed in the wasp becomes a wasp. Now, Prabhupada gives a similar kind of reference in Bhagavad Gita where a worm and being attacked, meditating on the wasp, he takes the body of a wasp. Will not a person absorbed in Krishna quickly become like Krishna? I offer praise to that weaver, the chief among them. I offer arti and put my head at his feet because he put the most splendid, colorful, sewn cloth and ornaments on Krishna and Balaram. So as Kubja was transformed, the weaver was transformed. Now it's not specifically mentioned here in Gopal Champu that Krishna touched him, but Krishna saw him. There's a nice story of I don't know if it's true, but it's a nice story anyways. In Vrindavan, one of the deities in Vrindavan is known as Banki Bihari, very celebrated deity. Anybody that's been to Vrindavan knows. Not an ISKCON temple, but a celebrated deity. And one of the features of the Banki Bihari temple is the deity is up on an elevated, receded altar, and they keep the curtain closed, and then they start to wiggle the curtain, and everyone goes, ooh, and then the curtain opens, and then for a few moments, and then the curtain closes. And then everyone does what they do, and then it happens again after some time. And it goes on all day like that. And the reason is, the lore is Banki Bihari, when he sees his devotees, wants to get off the altar and go here and there, so they don't want him to get off the altar. So they don't keep the curtain open. They just and so. There is a blind elderly Vaishnav, I guess we can say sadhu, that had to be carried to the temple. And he went every day, and every day, and every day, and he stayed for some time, but he was blind. So somebody asked him, "You're blind. Why do you go to the temple?" And he said, "I don't go to the temple to see the Lord. I go to the temple so the Lord can see me. And that way I can become blessed." Pretty cool, huh? So who's to be pleased by our service? Anyway, we're interested in our happiness and, happiness of our friends and family and people around us, our little circle. But higher states of consciousness is being pleased by knowing that Krishna is pleased. So the weaver, not so different. There's many examples in Krishna's pastimes where persons heard about Krishna, but they had never seen him, and they were just eager to see him. Eager to see him. A classic is King Muchukunda. You're doing all right? You're tired? Yeah. Okay. King Muchukunda. You know the story of King Muchukunda? King Muchukunda, when Krishna ran from the battlefield into a cave and Kaliyavana chased him. Very expertly, Krishna was just a little bit ahead, just out of the reach of Kaliyavana, so he would continue to follow him all the way into the cave, and he saw somebody asleep, and he thought, Krishna was tired because of fatigue from running from me, so he kicked him, But it wasn't Krishna, it was Vajrakunda and Vajrakunda sendered him because he had this benediction from the demigods that if somebody wakes me, instantly they'll turn to ashes when I see them. So you turn to ashes. End of Kaliyavana. Krishna didn't have to do anything. He gave him service to King Vajrakunda. So when King Vajrakunda, now he's awake, and he saw in the cave this effulgent being and asked, who are you? And Krishna said, who he is. And then the whole story comes out that he had longed for Krishna's association because King Vajrakunda had, he was a celebrated personality, so he had the opportunity to seek his horoscope from Gargamuni, same one that did the name-giving ceremony for Krishna. And Gargamuni said all kinds of things about King Vajrakunda, and you're going to have this opportunity in your life to see Krishna. Although he had never seen Krishna, he heard about Krishna. He just heard about him. And from that point onward, he was meditating on Krishna. Now, we've heard Krishna a whole bunch. How much should we meditate? But so he was a very elevated person, meditating, 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 meditating. So Krishna came because of his intensity of absorption, so much so he didn't recognize him. But then when Krishna let him know who he was, how fortunate, and so many things. Or Rukmini, she had never seen Krishna, but she gave her heart to Krishna. It turns out she heard about Krishna from Narada. Said, Narada spilled the beans. Here's, you know, Krishna's fantastic. And she gave her heart to Krishna. She had never seen him, but she wasn't going to marry anybody, even if it meant many, many lifetimes, just Krishna alone. So Krishna reciprocated. So this connects again with that little passage we read the other day, Jiva Goswami commenting on a particular verse where even demons during Krishna's pastimes, Shishupal and some others, they were always meditating on Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, Krishna's this and Krishna's that, and they became purified. So what to speak of those that meditate favorably? And then the commentary, Jiva Goswami's commentary, says, depending upon the intensity of one's meditation or one's mental absorption in Krishna, we'll get different destinations or different forms or aspects or features of Krishna will become revealed to us because we're dependent upon Krishna revealing himself to us. We make our effort and we're dependent on mercy. The good news is Krishna is merciful, but we're dependent upon his mercy. And we don't just like sit back and wait for Krishna's mercy. We endeavor in ways that our scriptures teach us, and doing what we're doing right now is one of those, hearing the topics of Krishna. We were reading just yesterday evening that the topics of Krishna are described specifically in several places, that it removes the darkness of the age of Kali. And this is certainly a dark age. Don't look at the news because it's so dark. And I mean, it's not just coronavirus. The whole world is in total turmoil. And that's just the part that we know about. What to do? We're not escapists. We want to experience freedom from darkness. We want the world to experience freedom from darkness. I'll end with this. There's someone forwarded to me a text when Prabhupada is speaking about an epidemic that was traveling through Calcutta when he was 2 years old. So what year was Srila Prabhupada's birth? 1896. It was 1898. He describes in this, you know, conversation, he remembers looking at people's knees because he was 2 years old. And so there were many, 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 many people in Calcutta, you know, probably elsewhere, but in Calcutta, many people were dying and there wasn't a cure. So one sadhu or a person, you know, wasn't a Hare Krishna devotee, but some sadhu that had faith in the holy name, traveled all through the streets of Calcutta, and voila, the epidemic was subsided. The power of the holy name, or the power of doing what we're doing right now. And we also want to broadcast it. That's why we do our book distribution and public Harinam. A little difficult during the epidemic period to do either of those, or prasadam distribution. All three are primary astras. But we have faith, as Prabhupada had faith, that darkness of the age of Kali can be mitigated throughout the world by this spiritual sound vibration. Darkness comes from material sound vibration. Light comes from spiritual sound vibration. And then there's degrees of absorption in. So that's it for this morning. I hope you're absorbed. You're not sending text messages, are you? Okay, good. Any discussion? Yeah.
Maharaj, you mentioned about how near the end, you mentioned how we, or one could, their purpose in devotional service could be for pleasing like ourselves, just to be happy, rather than seeking Krishna or Guru's pleasure. How can we change that, I guess?
How to go from where we are to where we want to go? Well, the according to the Bhagavatam, the principal rocket fuel is sadhu sangha. And with sadhu sangha, it's a whole package. It's not just like hang out. It means serve the devotees, hear from the devotees, inquire from the devotees. That, you know, sadhu sangha, it's the essence is service. And service has all those aspects. Like, how do you get warm? Stand near fire, you get warm. Not just passive. So with sadhu sangha, it's active, not just passive. Not just hang out, but engage interactively. And then from that, many other things. There's just like this, you know, just chant and be happy. But, you know, when you chant, there's many other things along with chanting that you do along with chanting. So it's just like to say chant, then you unpack it. Or sadhu sangha, and then you unpack it. And then all those things, and you pack it up in sadhu sangha. That's the principle. So bhajana kriya, that's what you do when you're with sadhus. And that includes serving. Let's just take the example of our disciplic succession and the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we engage in Sankirtan in different features, not only one feature, but many different features of Sankirtan. And that's Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. We perpetuate that. And then we start going through the Anarthanivritti, but that's also to be effective in that, that's relying upon faith in sadhu sangha. And it just keeps expanding. So that's the basic principle. Yeah.
Could you compare and contrast the guru-disciple relationship with a brahmana instructing a
Well, interesting question. culture says, Varnashram Dharma, Daivi Varnashram Dharma, because we had this discussion the other day, indicates that Kshatriyas are to rule and protect, and they're to receive guidance from the Brahmanas, because the Brahmanas will help them understand how to. And a qualified Kshatriya is a Rishi as well as a Raja, learned person. So one of the ways they become learned is hearing from the Brahmanas, and then they can act. Even when there isn't a Brahmana right by their side, what do I do next? Do I go with my left foot first or my right foot first? They may not have somebody right by their side to say, but they're learned through their submission to the Brahmana. So that's a cultural description. And then there is similarity, just like chapter 4, Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says what he says in the very beginning, that the saintly kings, the Rajarshis, understood through this method of the cyclic succession. So the function is very specific. The guru function is very specific. It's two functions, teachings, shiksha, and mantra. So there's two functions that are part of the guru function. And Brahmana's function is similar, but not identical. During Vedic times, there are many Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas would be available as ministers to the king. Like Vasudeva is in the royal order. He was born in Kshatriya family, but his function was more like a minister than a ruler. So because he was very good at what he was good at, he was able to convince Kamsa not to kill his sister. He used his ministerial function. Although he is a Kshatriya by birth, the function was a ministerial function, which is something of a brahminical function. Ministers perform that function. But the Brahmanas have not exactly the ministerial function. They have some other functions. Study the scripture, teach the scripture, worship, teach how to worship, receive in charity, give in charity. Those are Brahmana functions. So there's an overlap, but they're not identical. Okay. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, is there a place for fear and anxiety in the spiritual world?
In the spiritual world, of course. Just see.
I thought fear was not...
But it's a transcendental emotion. The fear we hear is fear of separation, not fear, that's the total transcendental type of fear. There's a place for it.
And how about...
How about what?
How about us? Should we also serve in fear and anxiety when we are doing?
Well, it depends on what your position of consciousness is. Supposing you're gripped by the bodily conception of life, then there's going to be fear. So what do? When you're gripped in the bodily conception of life and there's fear, you have to deal with it. But you can still be a devotee and deal with it. And take sadhu sangha, because the sadhu will help become free from the bodily conception of life. So then that energy can be directed otherwise. One's not ineligible for devotional service if you have a bodily conception of life. Otherwise, we'd all be finished.
should be anxious.
Well, yes, it's yes. Same answer. It's not a transcendental, our anxiety is not a transcendental anxiety, but you have to deal with it because you want outcomes, you want results to be such and such, and they're not such and such, so there's anxiety. So Sadhu Sangha teaches us let go of that expectation and just serve without expectation. That's up, you know, that's up there, but we're down here. And we're not ineligible. We try to leverage where we are to where we want to go by the bhakti principle, and that is best awakened through the practices and strengthened by association. Bhajana Kriya and Sadhu Sangha. Narayana Parayana, okay.
And then I was thinking about Parikshit when he didn't react to the curse. And Ambarish, I mean, he went beyond that. He prayed for the
Durvasa.
For Durvasa. And Vritasura, I mean, he was at. How are these personalities in the Narayana Parayana stage? How much ever we are. I mean, okay, me personally, I'm reading. Trying to get these things, but I respond, I react immediately. But how come these are special personalities? That's why they are in that stage. And
the nature of your question is important. You know, they're up there, we're down here. The nature of those personalities, generally speaking, such personalities have such natures because of cultivation. It's not like there's souls of this category and they're just special souls and the rest of us just struggle because we're not special souls. They became special souls because of their cultivation. And the cultivation of what? You know, different, but ultimately shelter of the personality of Godhead. You know, it's practical. We chant japa every day. What's our shelter when we're chanting japa every day? You know, it may not be the mind. It may not be the name. Commonly it's the mind. That's what we're used to. So we just like, we do the mind thing while the mouth is going. Because that's where we are. But we have some faith, but we're not there yet. But these great personalities, they've, who knows what sadhana they have done in lifetimes and lifetimes and so forth.
I think those modes don't affect them.
You got it. Let's say it reverse. We are affected by the modes. That's what Devahuti says. Read the beginning of chapter 29. Canto 3. Da, 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 da. And then the modes pull one down. Same, you know, discussions yesterday. Beginning of 25, beginning of 29. Same question asked differently. Language is different, but the same question. Same as you're asking. So what's the solution? Bhakti is the solution. And how does bhakti awaken? Sadhu Sangha. And then you do with sadhus what sadhus do, and you go further in the bhakti process. That's chapter 25. Bhagavatam is very clear. You have something?
I thought that was a really interesting point. How was it Krishna's thinking that Krishna thought that the snake had touched Nanda's feet? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
It's cool. Like Putana, so also the snake. It wasn't done in the mood of service any more than what Putana did. It was murderous. but she rendered a service. The mother, Krishna, accepted.
Sometimes we may think that just, you know, Krishna's qualities is more it's a very cutthroat devotional service. On one hand, it is. It's a very, Prabhupada said, like a razor blade. But on this, when we hear this, it seems like Krishna's mercy is so
abundant. Wow. Yeah.
So it's encouraging.
Yeah. Anything? Anything online?
We have two questions. First one's from Vishalaksha Prabhu. He asks, in the material world, we are anxious for so many temporary things. Mm. What steps shall I take to be anxious less in sincerely executing the orders of the Guru Maharaj?
Well, that's your question. You know, that is sadhu sangha. On our own, we're lost. And in the company of those that are alert, there's mercy. We receive Krishna's mercy through those that are carrying Krishna's mercy. So be very careful when you have association of devotees to not make offense and do a nice service as best you can. And that includes the hearing and chanting in the association of those devotees. Then bhakti will grow and the distractions will diminish.
Next question is from Ruchi Rarana Mataji. She asks, do we need strong intensity for services also?
Sure, utsahan.
And if Krishna gives us the chance for services and we find ourselves not eligible for that,
eligible
for that, what way can we serve Krishna?
You do what you're eligible to do. There's so many services. You do what you can do. With folded palms, Krishna, please give me some service that's in my purview to do. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, one more.
From Uttama Bhakta Prabhu.
Okay, count on Uttama Bhakta.
If one is looking for a safe shortcut to please Krishna, will it be pleasing the Guru and devotees?
It's not a safe shortcut. That is what is pleasing to Krishna. Not a safe shortcut. It is what is pleasing to Krishna. Leave out the pleasing Guru and devotees, and you're not going to be able to please Krishna, period. Sorry, Charlie. You have to do that. It's not a safe shortcut. Okay, we're done. Prabhupada ki.
Jai.